No doubt we were all ready for Christmas songs, huh? Well, take your Bible, turn to Psalms, not Numbers. Psalms chapter 107, the passage I had asked Kyle to read for me this morning. We're going to read that and on down to verse 8. I titled the message this morning, What Do the Redeemed Say? Question for you this morning. And what is it that we normally say? we are pretty good at complaining, or at least maybe not complaining, but borderline complaining. Can I put it that way? We don't want to sound whiny and complaining, but most of the time that is our attitude. And I say we, I mean me. I wrote on the top of my notes here this morning, we are still in the month of Thanksgiving, all right? It is the last day, and we sang a Christmas song because it's past Thanksgiving, but it is still the month of Thanksgiving. And I want to go all the way through this chapter, and it's fairly long, but I want to look at different things in this chapter. This is a very interesting chapter. You take the time this week to read it again after this message and just look at what is said, because we see here in four different times that it says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." That verse is repeated four times in this chapter. And then as you read through, you see what God does for us. And it's interesting, every time there's, well, I shouldn't say every time, but over several times in this chapter, we see man walking away from God, God correcting them, man crying out to God, and then it says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord." And it ends with, "Who is wise and will observe these things? Even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord." He shows the loving kindness of the Lord in this chapter over and over and over. Why should I praise the Lord? For His goodness, for His mercy unto the children of men, and for His loving kindness. And if I really look at what God is doing in my life, and every one of us have different circumstances, every one of us have different difficulties and struggles. There's things that are not pleasant, and some to far greater extent than others right now, and that's just the way life is. But we can all look at this passage and say, you know what, I have seen the goodness of God in my life. I can look out, I can see the goodness of God in my life right now. And for that, then I should be praising the Lord. It begins with the goodness of God and it ends with the loving kindness of God, this chapter. And I want to look at three things. I ask, what do the redeemed say? Well, let the redeemed speak is my first point, and that is in verse 2. And then it says in verse 22, let the redeemed rejoice. That's my second point. And third point this morning is that last verse, let the redeemed understand. I hope we understand the loving kindness of God. We can't fully understand the loving kindness of God. We're going to learn of that for all of eternity. What a great testimony, Fanny Crosby. Going to see Christ, the first thing she sees. That's incredible. And she's going to rejoice and learn of Him, or she is, for all eternity. We know she's in His presence this morning. So we're going to be learning of the loving kindness of God, but it says that we can understand it today, and we should be learning more and more of it every day. Let's have a word of prayer. I'm going to read the first 8 verses, and then we'll get into the message. Father, thank You. Thank You for this time. Thank You for the songs that we've sung. And thank You, Lord, for Your mercy and grace. Lord, we are here because of Your grace. We are here because of Your mercy. Lord, there is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. We read that last night. Lord, I know that in me is nothing good. Lord, it is only because of Your mercy and grace. Help us, Father, to be men and women that rejoice and praise You, that, Lord, have a song in our heart. Lord, help it to be ever present in our lives, that rejoicing and Lord, our understanding of Your loving kindness would grow and grow. Use this message, Father. We'll praise you for it. In Christ's name we pray, amen. All right, got the heater running in here. Okay. Verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." You know, I could preach the whole message on that right there. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Verse 3, "And gathered them out of the land from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary place, and they found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." It's my first point this morning. I want to look at that statement. It says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You know, here's what the redeemed should say, that he is good, his mercy endureth forever. And if there's nothing else that I can rejoice in, there's terrible things going on in my life. We talked about Job last night. Job suffered far greater than any of us have ever suffered. None of us have been in the place of Job. We can experience some of the things Job experienced, but I cannot imagine having everything happen all at once that happened to Job. It was just snowballing in his life. Well, your animals have died. Now your children are dead. Now you have boils from head to toe, and you're scraping it in ashes. And then your wife comes and says, "Curse God and die." Everything went wrong in Job's life in an instant. And it must have been almost just overwhelming. But what did he say? "Naked came I into this life, naked go I out. I'm not going to curse the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord." You know, in all of our circumstances, we need to be like Job. And I don't know what's going to happen in your life, and you don't either. We can say he is good, his mercy endureth forever. I like this passage of Scripture because it shows something here. The redeemed speak when they are humbled. The redeemed speak when they become humbled. Now, it's in verse 3 through 12. I read 3 through 6 there. They wandered in the wilderness. They're hungry and thirsty. Pick it up in verse 9. Verse 9 says, "For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness, such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help." Go to verse 16. It says, "For he hath broken the gates of the brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death." There's these circumstances. Here's men that rejected the word of God, and God brought circumstances into their life to humble them, right? We see this humbling. He brought down their heart with labor, verse 12. Verse 18, "Their soul abhorred all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death." Here's desperation in these people's lives. This is necessary in all of our lives before we praise God. This humbling has to happen. I mentioned it last week, and it's absolutely true that if there's pride in your life, you're not praising God. You're not going to praise Him when you're proud. There's selfishness, there's self-centeredness when I'm proud. My life is about me, my thoughts are about me, and God is going to humble us to that point of praising Him. You know what the Bible says? Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So there's going to be that humbling. I praise the Lord that He continues to do it in my life right now. And so I can redeem Him. The redeemed can praise Him because He humbles us. Rebelling against God, verse 11 and 12, because they rebelled against the word of God and condemned the counsel of the holy. says, first of all, we're humbled, and then we're helped. I skipped over these verses, but verse 13 and 14 says, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. These are the ones that rebelled against the Lord. Yet he brought them down, the Bible says, and they cried unto him. And then he delivered them. This is the condition of man. We get proud. We reject the word of God. We lift ourselves up. God humbles us. We cry unto him. He redeems us. We don't lose our salvation, but we can have that fellowship restored. And in that case, I should then say, oh man, do you see the goodness of God? Did you see what I was doing last week? Can I tell you where my heart was last week? And here's what God has done for me this week. Verse 19 and 20 says, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. He breaks the bondage and he delivers them. He brought them out of darkness, verse 14, and verse 20 says, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. These ones that rebelled against God, God continues to be merciful. He shows them his love and his grace. He broke the bondage. Chapter 34 of Psalms and verse 6 says, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. If you're saved this morning, you can give that testimony. This poor man cried, and what happened? He heard me, and he delivered me out of all my troubles. He saved me when I cried unto him. There's got to be the humbling first. Pride has to be gone for the redeemed to just say, do you see how good my God is? I'm going to lift up the name of my God today. I hope we didn't come in this morning with pride in our life. You know, every time we come together, it ought to be a time of rejoicing. I had that thought on burden on my heart last week that this should be a time of rejoicing when we come into the together. But it should be every Sunday, every Wednesday night. If it is, we'll look forward to being here. Boy, if church is a drudgery, you're not rejoicing in who God is. You're wondering, you're worrying about what you are, what you're getting, or what is happening for you, and there's pride in your life. We can rejoice when we've been humbled before him, and then when we cry unto him, and he hears, and he delivers me. I cried unto him, it says, and he heard me. Our victory is in the word of God. I love verse 20. He sent his word and healed them. He sent his word and healed them. Hope on Saturday nights. You know what it's about? The word of God. Amen. We discuss verses and we talk about the word of God. We don't talk about who we are or what we've done or where we've come from. Those things are important, but they don't matter in the context of healing. If we're going to see people delivered, it's only through the word of God. And it says, when I cried unto him, he sent his word and healed them. It's ever present here with us. Thankful for the word of God. Psalms 119 is the whole chapter is about the word of God. And you know these verses, but verse 9 and 10 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. And then verse 12 says, blessed art thou, O Lord. What is that? The cleansed individual is now praising God. Those that have their heart right through the word of God are now praising God. It's not artificial. It's coming from the heart. He's rejoicing in who God is. We rejoice when we've been humbled, when we cry unto the Lord and he delivers us. When that heart is clean before God and I've poured out my heart to him, and that fellowship is sweet and right between God. The illustration was used last night. I'll use it this morning. Matthew is my son, right? and he always will be. And our relationship is good. If he goes against the rules of the home, the relationship is what? It's broken. It's the fellowship is broken. I misspoke. The relationship never changes. He's my son no matter what he wants to do. He can't change it. He's stuck with it. I'm the son of God. I've been adopted into the family of God. Nothing I can ever do will change my relationship with God. But when I am selfish, when I've given in myself over to flesh and I've yielded my members unto unrighteousness, it says in Romans chapter 6, then I have broken the fellowship with God. And he's going to humble me to the point where I cry out unto him again. And then he's going to set me back on my feet. Like the Bible says, just man falleth 7 times. God picks him up, puts him on his feet, puts his arm around me. The fellowship is right again. Well, we have reason to rejoice. Because every one of us are going to fail him. Every one of us are going to have our times of stubborn rebellion. Miss Heather said that some people are just more stubborn than others. And I'm not here to argue with her, but you know what? You're just as stubborn as I am. I'm just as stubborn as you are. We just have different ways of showing our stubbornness. That old flesh is rotten. And it says in Romans chapter 7, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. No good thing. So I'm going to break fellowship with the Lord because I am stubborn and I'm living in this flesh, but the mercy of God is new every morning. And when I cry unto him, he hears me. Says, oh, that men would praise God for his goodness. He helps us. We are humbled and we are helped. That thought just amazes me. I look at Paul, and I'm chasing a rabbit here this morning. I can't get over Paul and his testimony of his affliction. Paul, the greatest missionary that ever lived, he gave testimony that he was free from the blood of all men. So when the Holy Spirit moved on Paul to give the gospel to someone, Paul gave the gospel to them. He evangelized the known world. God used him mightily. But Paul says, unless I was lifted up beyond measure, and part of that is that others would worship him, but I believe mostly that was, unless I was lifted up in my own life, in my own mind, beyond measure, I was given a thorn in my flesh. And I asked God to deliver me from it 3 times, and God said, my grace is sufficient unto thee. I'll support you through it. And Paul then understood this, that his affliction was the grace of God. We don't understand our affliction being the grace of God, but it is the grace of God in Paul's life because as Paul was humble before God, he saw the power of God. As he was humble before God, he rejoiced in who God was and not in who Paul was. And so he said, I will most gladly, therefore, rejoice in my infirmities, that the power of God would be evident in my life. And that is tremendous. I wish I could see in my own life every difficulty that God brings in my life is the grace of God. Now, there's things we see in this passage where God punishes those that are his. He chastens his children. But all of it is the grace of God to humble me so that I can then see the power of God and rejoice in who God is. This is the love of God. This is not a father who is punishing because he feels good about punishing you. He's not punishing you because he gets joy out of it. He is working in your life that which is the best. So then it should be, oh, that men would praise the Lord. As I go through a difficulty this week, I stop and I say, you know, Lord, you're humbling me so that I can see your power. This is in my life to keep pride away. This is in my life so that I will depend upon you. Therefore, I will rejoice in who you are and what you're doing. I can be glad in my infirmities because God is working in my life. He humbles us and he helps us. Paul was never delivered from his infirmities. Never. Paul lived with that thorn in the flesh, whatever it was, for the rest of his life. Paul died in prison. Yet God used that so that Paul would understand and see the power of God in his life. Paul would have not accomplished what Paul accomplished for God without the afflictions. We need to understand that it is the grace of God. Everything he does is his grace and mercy in our lives. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Get your eyes off of yourself. Humble yourself before the Lord, or he will humble you. And then cry unto the Lord, and he'll hear and deliver and give you the strength to work and to live for him. And we can then speak of the goodness of God. Verse 22, and it's all the same thought, but verse 22 says, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Here's what he said, men need to praise the Lord, and now let's look at what God has done for us. Let the redeemed rejoice. Well, verse 23 says, they that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raised the stormy winds, which lifted up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and staggered like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm so that the waves thereof are still. Then they are glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them out of their desired or unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. It says they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. You see the works of God in your life? Or do we view it all from a carnal, earthly perspective? Everything that is going on, and I sound like a broken record this morning, everything that goes on in your life is the work of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. I know that what he's doing in my life today is the mercy and grace of God working to shape me in the image of Christ. It is the power of God in my life. I can look back over this week and I can see the power of God. And in doing so, then, I should speak of those things. We should be here this morning saying, you know, God showed me from his word this verse. I was reading this morning and look at what God gave me today. Look at who God is. We gave testimony this morning, and Miss Mary Louise said that God protected her from a car accident. You know what? That is the power of God. Everything that comes along is the power of God, and we are to see these things, and we are to rejoice in them. They are to cause us to cry unto the Lord when we see the power of God. Boy, I've never been out on the sea when the waves mounted up to heavens and went down to the depths. I've never seen that kind of tumult in the ocean, but I imagine that is a very frightening thing. Their life is in an uproar, and they see the power of God, and as they look at it, and they're frightened and they're scared, they're brought to this point again of crying out unto God. And he brought them out of their distresses in verse 28. 29, he made the storm a calm so that the waves thereof are still. And they that are glad because they be quiet. So he bringeth them into their desired haven. He met their needs. He provided for them. He protected them. He was there and sufficient for them. Here is the power of God. I would love to have been one of the disciples that were in the storm. And Jesus said, peace be still. And the sea was like glass, the Bible says. Not a single ripple in the water. If you've ever seen water like that, it's very, very soothing and calm. It had to have been eerie at that time. One instant, there's waves and we're going to die in the storm. The next instant, absolute quiet and calm. They saw the power of God and they spoke of it for the rest of their life. They rejoiced in who God was. And they said, this is the one of the most amazing things I've ever seen in my life. Do you see the work of God in your life? Are you looking for it? Are you looking for it? We'll rejoice when we do. Let the redeemed rejoice, those that see the power of God. And then verse 32 says, those that congregate are to praise the Lord. Let them that exalt him in the let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. It builds and builds as we are to rejoice in who God is. The same thought throughout the chapter, but you see that there's all of these things that God does for us. And as we are in the congregation, I'm to speak of these things. We're to exalt the Lord. Isaiah chapter 25. Isaiah chapter 25, verse 1. Says Isaiah 25, verse 1 says, O Lord, thou art my God. That's enough. As we congregate, we should be saying, Lord, you are my God. And that statement means, you're my dependence. You're my master. You're in control. I'm here to serve you. I'm here because you are Almighty God. Did you come here this morning because he is your God? Or did we come here this morning because, well, it's what I do on a Sunday morning? You know, either way, I'm glad you're here. But we should be here because he is our God. Because my actions every day are that pleases my God, my master, my king. I want to serve him. I want to praise him. I want to lift up his name. If I have that mindset, then I rejoice in God. He said, O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will lift up your name. You will be exalted in my life. It says in John that he must increase and I must decrease. That's exalting God. Because I cannot do it at the same time. I can't be lifted up and God be lifted up. If I'm lifted up over here, he's going down. Because it's about me. And I want you to see and hear me and think of me. And it's not about God. He's no longer my God. All of a sudden I am. He must increase and I must decrease. He is going to be lifted up and I'm going to be put in the background. I'm not going to be seen and heard. You're not thinking about the person. You're thinking about the king. This is what it means to exalt him. I'm lifting up my king. I want to represent him. He says, I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name. For thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. Is he your God this morning? You know what? When we get together, then that's what we should speak of. My king, what has God done for me? Who is God? Let's just talk about his name sometime when we get together. Lift up who our king is. So then it's not about us, it's about him. Let them also exalt him, lift him up in the congregation of the people, and praise him. They that congregate will lift up the name of God. He should be exalted here this morning. When he's exalted, we're rejoicing in him. When he's exalted, we're surrendered to him. Now, I'm going to read down through the last of the chapter. Verse 33 says, he turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blessed them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffered not their cattle to decrease. Again they are minished, and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes, and causeth them to wander in the wilderness, where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it. What are we seeing? We're seeing the work of God. We're seeing the power of God. The righteous shall see it. We're also seeing the victory that God gives over sin and death and over wickedness. Rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise. This is not a question. This is a statement. And this verse hit me pretty hard. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Whoso is wise, if I don't observe the work of God, what does it say about me? Well, Proverbs gives two options, really. I'm either a wise man or I'm a fool. Pretty plain in Proverbs, there's two categories. This says, whoso is wise, he sees the work of God, he understands the loving kindness of God. Not full understanding, I understand, but he is rejoicing in the loving kindness of God. This is the wise man. So if I'm not observing the work of God, my heart is on me, and I'm a fool. I'm a fool. Who is wise? It's not a question, it's a statement. If you're wise, you'll observe the work of God. You'll see the goodness of God. You'll understand the loving kindness of the Lord. It's described in this chapter. The rebellious are humbled. They cry unto God. God redeems them. They rebel against the Lord. They cry unto God. I shouldn't say redeems. He sets them back on their feet. The lost rebel against God. He humbles them. They cry unto God. He redeems them. It's described in this chapter. We also see the loving kindness of God all around us. We have it as our testimony. We have it as our testimony. The kindness and love of God never changes. I want to close in Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 9. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. Here's a wise man. It says, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this. Here's another statement. This isn't a maybe, this is a command. I'm not to glory in my riches. I'm not to glory in my might. I'm not to glory in my wisdom. Whatever I have, whatever I perceive that I have, I'm not to glory in those things. I'm to glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. What does the Lord delight in? Loving kindness, his mercy and grace shown to us every day. That which is described in Psalms 107, that he is long-suffering and merciful and kind to us as we well up in pride and rebellion and we do things according to the flesh. He doesn't cast us out of his family. He draws us back to himself. He puts those things in our life that humble us, that we will then turn and cry unto him again. He draws us to himself over and over and over. This is the loving kindness of God. This is what he delights in. It also delights in judgment, discerning between right and wrong, because no sin can enter the presence of God, and righteousness in the earth. We are to glory in God because of these things. Because this is what he exercises and this is what he delights in. In Psalms 107, if I'm wise, I see the work of God and I understand the loving kindness of God. Can Can I say it this way? If I'm wise, I'm rejoicing. If I'm wise, I'm rejoicing. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. You can say, well, I praised him this week. Were you praising him all the time? I can't say I was. I would have 8 witnesses against me if I said that. We are to praise God if we're wise. We see his loving kindness. What a merciful God we serve. That he continues to work those things in our life that draw us to him, that mold us in his image. Just have this last thing on my notes down here. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Father, thank you for all this time this morning. Thank you for each one that's here. Thank you for your mercy and your loving kindness to us. Thank you for your grace in our lives. Lord, help us to see that what you are doing in our lives, everything you do in our lives, is by your grace. Lord, that it is for our best. And in that understanding, we can see the goodness of God. We can see your loving kindness towards us, and we can rejoice. Lord, if there's pride in our lives, I ask that you would humble us this morning, that each one of us would be surrendered to you and walking with you, that there would be no separation in the fellowship that we have with you, that we would be abiding in you. Lord, if there's someone lost here this morning, I don't know every heart. There's a very good chance someone doesn't know you as their Savior here this morning. Lord, your loving kindness is extended to them. Your mercy is there for them. Help them to understand your love and surrender their heart and life to you, that they would accept you as their Savior today. Work in this time of invitation, Father. We'll praise you for all that's done. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. You know, this message primarily is to those that are saved. When you're saved, you cannot be separated from the love of God. And we should be rejoicing then. The Bible says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. I really believe if I'm not walking in faith, I'm not rejoicing. And I can say it the other way around. If I'm not rejoicing, I'm not walking in faith. My eyes, my attention is focused on myself. If my heart is fixed on God, I will be rejoicing in him. Christian, if you're not rejoicing this morning, maybe you need to come down to the altar this morning and ask God to restore unto you the joy of your salvation, to give you that sweet fellowship with him again. Get back in his word. Are you lost this morning? The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means every one of us fail to meet the requirements of heaven. There's nothing that you can do. Also says the wages of your sin is death, eternal separation from God in hell, where the fire does not die and the worm does not die. You will be in torment for all of eternity. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He loves you unconditionally this morning. I believe the Lord has not returned. God has delayed the return of Jesus Christ, the rapture, because of the long suffering of God. Because he loves you and wants to have that relationship with you. Give your heart and life to Jesus Christ today.